Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love Mary J. Wanna. This is Doug Loves Movies. As always, Doug Loves Movies is presented to you by OCB Rolling Papers. No matter which OCB paper you choose, you can be assured all papers are vegan, GMO-free, chlorine-free, and dye-free. Enjoy the show! Coming to you once again from the safety of our Zoom connections with another Homes Alone edition. It's Sunday, April 18th, just 3 days from my high holiday, 2021, and my guests today are returning champ Aya Cash, Griffin Woo-hoo! Newman, and Trey Gallion.
Sup, sup.
Hello.
Let's meet them individually and alphabetically, starting with Aya Cash is back. Hello, Aya.
Hello. I was my own audience and full of fans.
It's nice to hear your voice again, a returning champion.
Thank you. It might be my first win. I feel really good and confident.
Might be your first ever win. That is correct. But I brought in some heavy hitters today.
I feel so, okay. I feel okay going down. I won one. That's all I can ask for.
Well, also publicity wise, it's kind of perfect because, you know, We Broke Up is of course in theaters now. And then it's going to be out, it's going to be available on digital this Friday. So, you know.
So you're saying it was rigged?
After this Friday, you're not going to need to promote. I mean, you could keep on promoting it or tell us about the next thing. You're always, you know, welcome to come back, champion or no.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm basically retiring after this movie. So I don't think there'll be anything left to promote.
Well, this might be like, you know, this might be your next detour in your career is to never lose on Doug Loves Movies and have to come back for every episode.
All right. Let's go for it, Doug.
Might be too early to talk that way. Trey Gallion is here, everybody. Hey, Trey.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Good. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Do you think you've had Ken Jennings on the show? Like, have you talked to him about, like, at any point in his run, was he just like, all right, I'm kind of ready to go home? Or did he enjoy it, you think, the whole way through?
Whenever Ken's around, it's like in a green room and there's people, you know, fancier than me there that, you know, he enjoys talking to. So we haven't had too many heart to hearts, but like, you know, he's very responsive if I ask him, you know, anything. And I was there in the audience when he won the GOAT, when he won greatest of all time. You know, I just kind of casually, you know, might have even been in a DM over Twitter, just said, hey, can I come to your, you know, can me and my girlfriend come to your taping of the, you know, Tournament of Champions for Jeopardy? He's like, yeah, sure. And he put us on the list. And like he didn't have any family there or anything. Like we were like Ken's people when he won.
No way.
And he wins like the prize is like $1 million. And then as soon as it's over, he's like waving us up on a stage and just laughing with us while we're taking gag pictures on the Jeopardy set.
Dude, that is the best.
I mean, the guy is crazy chill. Like, I think like he's too chill. I was just going to say he's on the too chill spectrum.
That was kind of the fun of watching him. Cause like I got to see his entire original run. And he was just so much like, not only did he just kill everybody, but he was really funny too. You know,
is Trey here to promote Ken Jennings? Is that right?
Does he have a book coming out or something? Sorry. I'm funny sometimes.
Thanks for being here, Trey. Also Thanks. Joining us.
And also funny sometimes.
Griffin Newman is here. Hello, Griffin.
Hello. Can I just say on the sort of subjects we've been talking about, I felt it's one of the only, if I can say this, perverse silver linings of the pandemic year for me, is I was preemptively getting stressed out about having to try to defend my title in New York 12 Guests of Christmas for a third year in a row. Because I won twice, and then I feel like, well, now there's an expectation. And I was internalizing that from the moment after the second one ended. And I do feel a relief that like I got to take a year off.
I feel like this is what we call a humble brag, Griffin.
It's a humble brag, but you also, I mean, you came in as a reigning champion. I mean, we're talking about the same thing here. Yeah. You know?
Well, and as a former 12 Guests of Christmas champion from New York.
What I'm talking about, yeah. Right. It's where we all have humble brags here, but I think what we're talking about is that sometimes the crown weighs very heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
not for me, because I really lucked out when I won mine. You know, so.
It was a light crown.
Yeah, I'm just happy to be here. I think the problem was that dude throwing pop brownies on stage and everybody got too high, and I'm the only one that functions high, so I ended up winning the thing.
Mm-hmm. You like you ate the pop brownies while doing the show?
I mean, I did.
Wow. I do not function on pop brownie. Last time I ate a pop brownie, I Marie Kondo'd my entire space, and I woke up and my bedroom was in the living room because nothing sparked joy. And that was 12 years before Marie Kondo, so I could have been a millionaire.
Everything was folded, but in a different place.
Yes, I had perfected her fold as well. It wasn't just about the joy. It was about the organization.
Yeah, has anybody ever tried that as a like a, to help people just say, hey, if you're like if you don't feel great about your home, just you know, put everything in the bedroom, in the living room, and everything in the living room and bedroom, see how that works.
It's sort of like don't go in there. If nothing sparks joy, turn one room of your home into like Mrs. Haversham's hiding place. You know,
that's the new Nexium. We could sell people on this, get their money.
Just don't go in there.
My room was a $450 room in New York in 2005. So nothing sparked joy in that room. My bathroom the bathroom upstairs fell through, and I tried to like not pay, you know, rent for that week that I didn't have a bathroom, and they were like, just squat over it and give us your money. And I was like, okay.
I had the exact same thing happen to me. And not only that, I had in one apartment in the span of 1 year, The bathroom above me collapsed into my bathroom and my bathroom collapsed into the bathroom below me.
I mean, look at you two. You're like Tom Hanks and Shelley Long.
For real, it's a money pit.
Except with no problem solving ability. Just sort of like, okay, I guess I'll pay for it. Like,
and fell down the scaffolding.
Right. The it here isn't for repairs. It's just paying the fucking rent. Like, I can't believe I agreed to that.
Yeah, me either. We're suckers.
Right.
Trey's going to win. Trey's
going to win. You guys, you guys are perfect for the new cult thing about switching the rooms.
I remember calling my landlord and being like, where am I supposed to shit? And he was like, I don't know. Do you have friends in the neighborhood? And I just accepted that.
Wow.
Raven, we're going to be friends. I feel confident. This is exactly.
You can come poo at my house if you really need to at any point.
I don't know. Wendy's is open late. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't even do it at Starbucks here anymore. You have to get a code.
No. Yeah. Yeah. It's a problem.
Oh, okay. I thought Starbucks decided anybody could use the bathrooms, or is that everywhere but Brooklyn?
That's everywhere but New York because of the homeless situation.
Whole Foods did
the same thing.
I think Starbucks' whole thing was just, we decided that anyone can sit here because there was an issue where someone called the cops on a guy who was there with a laptop. Like waiting for someone.
I just assumed that also meant the toilet. Like you could, you know, it was okay to use the bathroom if you're just hanging out.
Starbucks bathrooms are a higher status thing than Starbucks tables.
What do actors in New York do now? When I was, you know, starting out in New York, that's like Starbucks bathrooms is where you changed into your. Like,
oh, yeah.
Hey, like, man, support your local business. Maybe you all should have been going to the neighborhood coffee shop.
Right, you should be putting on concealer and trying to wake yourself up in a local ethically sourced coffee shop in your neighborhood.
Yeah. I mean, but then you'd have to buy something. I was not buying things at Starbucks. I was just changing in the bathrooms and putting on fishnets and things I thought the male gaze would like.
Well, just go. Then you just go find a bar. If you're in New York, there's plenty of those. Same thing. Just drop a dollar on the on the bar as you're walking by and just like, hey, man, I'm gonna use the bathroom real quick.
See, I never even thought to do the dollar. I certainly have many times walked up to a bar, got carded, walked straight to the back, used the bathroom, left.
Oh, yeah. Like on a Friday night or something. Right.
Yeah.
But I'm talking like middle of the day. I got to take a dump.
Oh, sure. Right. Then
I'll find
then
a bar that's open, slap a dollar on the bar.
You can't go unnoticed then. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have plausible deniability when you leave the bar right away with the guy who checked your ID because you could have not found who you were looking for or found who you were looking for. And that's why you left right away.
Exactly. I would always overperform that exact thing you just described. Like I would try to like have a moment with the bouncer where I was just like, I don't know, cold night.
And the bouncer's like, yeah, whatever, dude. Why are you still standing here?
You know, there's people that just gotta confess their crimes immediately.
Yeah. You're like, I rehearsed it, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. I would use the bathroom and then I would practice the look in the bathroom mirror before I walked in. I was like, what is it? A shrug? What kind of thing am I giving the guy?
That's like my mom used to, we used to go to the movies and you couldn't, she didn't want us to buy stuff at the movie theater because it was too expensive, but she would very loudly and performatively say like, do you want anything, sweetie? Whenever we walked by the concession stand, like even though we had like red vines in our bag, and then I would mess with her and be like, yeah, can I get a soda? And she'd be like, shut up.
Box office report. Godzilla versus Kong did it again. Hooray.
Really thought million. We broke up was gonna crack that, but
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to give you the news this way. It's we broke up is not number one at the box office.
Wait, box office but, like who's got movie theaters open right now?
Oh, this is just I'm only talking about Yugoslavia.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure the numbers are really not great, huh? comparatively.
Well, no, there's movie theaters. New York and L.A., we don't get movie theaters yet, but a lot of places have movie theaters open.
New York has reopened pretty much by and large, but everything's capped at like 33% attendance per screen.
Right.
But pretty much everywhere, all the theaters here have reopened.
I don't think Alamo's open yet.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I feel like
go bankrupt Alamo.
They filed for bankruptcy, but they're still supposed to open at some point. I think they're a unique case just because they can't really do food service in the same way they used to. And that's so much of their business that it feels like they're still kind of waiting it out.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm pulling for them, you know.
Me too.
They're
great.
They have a lot of locations open in like Texas and stuff.
Yeah, which is going to help them. But I think that's part of the problem and why they did the bankruptcy thing was because, you know, I mean, they were in the middle of expanding pretty hugely you know, when all this went down. So,
yeah, they had bought out the space to take over the floor right below them in the Brooklyn location. So they were going to double their size. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. I'm praying. Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, for real, man.
That'll work.
Yeah, we're all, you know, in L.A., we're very much mourning the loss of the ArcLight. And everybody's talking about, you know, somebody should come along and take it over, which, you know, would be great. But feels like nobody would take it over and have like the same sort of, you know, rules and stuff that the ArcLight had. It was a pretty... pretty nice place to see a movie.
No.
Yeah, it's a shame Alamo's not in a position to make a move on that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that would be a great, you know, just this whole, the whole ArcLight chain, because there's one in Chicago, there's one in San Diego, and then a few in the LA area. And they just pulled the plug on all of it and all the Pacific theaters, which is the Grove here in Los Angeles. And, many other theaters on this side of the country. I'm talking to a bunch of New Yorkers about this shit right now. I'm behind schedule a little bit, but having fun. Recommendation Nation. That's where each of you recommend one movie only. We'll start with Aya because she was here last week and recommended, what was it? Soap Dish?
Yeah, Soap Dish.
Nice recommendation. People, you know, chatting on the Doug Loves Movies Twitter are big fans of that movie. And what do you got for us this week?
I'm going to go more current and probably less known, which is a movie called Yame Voy. It is a movie about an undocumented man in New York City who is a bottle collector, works a lot of jobs, and then he would like to go home to his family, and his family does not want him to come home. So it's actually sort of immigration from a different perspective, and about someone who left home and left a son 17 years ago when the son was 1 year old, and sort of trying to reconnect to his family. But he's also the one supporting his family by sending money home. So it's a really beautiful documentary. I am maybe slightly biased. My husband was involved, wrote and produced it. So full disclosure, but it's a beautiful
movie. There it is. Now we knew, because this movie sounds like so stupid. No, I'm kidding. I'm excited that you're excited about it because, you know, I can tell it's real and you
it's
know
on Netflix. It's free, it's accessible, it's on Netflix.
But how do you spell it?
Yeah. Oh, actually I think it on Netflix it's the English title, which is I'm Leaving Now. So you okay. can watch that.
Yeah, I'm going to call it I'm Leaving Now because I don't know how many people that listen to this don't speak English, but I'm sure there's some. I mean, you know, that's probably some people speak multiple languages.
There are subtitles that tell you what people are saying when they're mumbling. There are subtitles throughout the whole thing. We were having a subtitle discussion before the podcast started.
Recently, I had a a movie on that had some scenes where people speak with subtitles, but I turned on the closed captions, and then there became times when the closed captions would be over the subtitles at the same time, so you couldn't read either. Yes.
The smart films know. It's amazing sometimes. Either that or I'm just really high or something, but I
know you're right.
Done it.
You're right. Some films are smarter than others, like they've been programmed better.
When I watched the new Coming to America, every time I paused it, it would be German subtitles. There were no subtitles on. But then, and whenever they sang, it just started doing German subtitles for every song, which I thought was an interesting choice.
I just saw something recently where there was just suddenly like German subtitles in random spots for a few seconds, right? Can't remember what it was. That is some weird stuff.
I used to own a bootleg DVD of the Jessica Alba dance movie Honey, and there was one like 10-minute section in the middle of the bootleg where it went into black and white. And my assumption was always like, oh, this is a technical issue from a shitty bootlegger. But I always want to think that it was like an artistic choice. Not on the original filmmakers, but on the bootlegger where it was like Kill Bill Volume 1 style. Like they were like, I think this scene would have a little more impact if you really put into starker contrast.
Right, right. That's like, oh, you got that bootleg from Flea Man. He always puts that thing in it.
He puts his spin on the movies. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, didn't I love Kramer, Flea Man. Like, Kramer got in trouble with the guy that he worked for when he was bootlegging because he tried to get creative with it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I speak of Kramer like he's a real person.
Our buddy Kramer.
You know Kramer. Trey?
What?
You want to recommend a movie?
I do. This one is stuck in my head because I saw it recently and had never seen it before, but The Long Goodbye with Elliot Gould. I really liked it. It's like a private eye movie set in Los Angeles, you know, and he's got a dope apartment in that thing, which I looked up and is going for 1.6 mil right now. So if anybody in LA's got 1.6 mil and wants to buy Elliot Gould's apartment from The Long Goodbye, it's over by one of the Frank Lloyd Wright houses. Anyway, it's a fun movie. It's good. It's got, you know, some subtle humor in it that I enjoy.
All right. I think we don't have to discuss this any further.
That fair movie rules. I second everything you just said.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that was great.
Thanks.
Griffin?
on my podcast, the podcast I do, Blank Check, we were just wrapping up a month doing all of Elaine May's films. So I rewatched those recently, and all four of those are very much watching. But the one I want to call out in particular is The Heartbreak Kid, which I had not seen in a while, her original version. And it's been sort of out of circulation for a while because of weird rights issues. But doing the podcast, I discovered that is, in fact, pretty easily viewable on YouTube in several different places. So I highly recommend that people watch the movie illegally because there's no other options at this point in time. But I think it is kind of undersung as one of the great American comedies, period. It's an amazing movie.
Yeah, that's one with Charles Grodin.
Yeah, and
Sybil Shepherd. He's playing the Ben Stiller role.
Yes.
And because there is another Heartbreak Kid, we should be clear that there was a more recent one that showed how great the first Heartbreak Kid was, because using that blueprint, it's still, you know, it's a pretty entertaining movie in its own right, but it's just not as good as the original, because, you know, that the first one was such an original that you can't really just copy it and come out with something that's as good.
No, I mean, and the premise of the original movie is essentially, what if someone was so self-absorbed and so perpetually obsessed with the idea of deserving a better life that they fell in love with someone on their honeymoon, right? Like fell in love with someone else, immediately started thinking about who else they wanted to be with. And then the premise of the remake is essentially, what if you married Beetlejuice? Like the premise of the remake just becomes, what if you married a demon? Which is like, well, then suddenly it's not that unlikable that he falls in love with someone else on his honeymoon. It's self-preservation. Whereas I think the Elaine May movie is a lot thornier and sort of more probing into the human condition in a really kind of uncomfortable but fascinating way.
Ooh, I like that. I'm gonna
Yeah, you're right.
That Ben Stiller one, at no point in that movie do you like you're on Ben Stiller's side the whole time.
Yeah, she truly is like one of the most demonic characters I've ever seen in a movie. She's a pathological liar and like a con artist. So it just becomes a movie of like a guy getting tricked.
Right.
Yeah. And also, but it's also just a guy who, you know, has his own image to think about when making a movie like that. And Charles Grodin was, you know, in movies in the 70s when it seemed like everybody was all about, you know, serving the character and the movie and not really, worrying about how they came off. Hence so many unhinged performances in like Robert Altman movies.
Yeah. And Grodin was kind of the king of playing pointedly unlikable leading men at that point in time, just having no interest in trying to get like conventional audience sympathy, which is really interesting to watch.
It's funny that these guys that I've grown to love, like unconditionally, like him and the recently passed George Segal, you go back and watch movies in the 70s that they were in and their characters do terrible shit left and right. And you're just still rooting for them because they're that movie star that you love, you know, whereas that doesn't seem to apply these days, you know, like either kind of do one, you know, they either play villains or heroes for the most part. Like I'm talking about movies here. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just rambling. We've got three great options here for people to check out. I haven't seen I'm Leaving Now, but I'm going to. It's been a long time since I've seen A Long Goodbye, so I should revisit that. Same with Heartbreak Kid. So this is some good stuff for me to check out. And like Griffin said, like just find YouTube, find Heartbreak Kid on YouTube, and you know, lots of other stuff. When you're looking, you'll be surprised what's on there, and also in pretty good condition. And you know, maybe you don't even have to sit through too many ads.
Definitely.
Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break and then we're going to play some games. So we'll be right back. No flipping.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
We're back. Let's play a game called So-and-So and the Something Something. Trey's the only one who might have played this before, but I don't think he has.
I haven't, but this sounds like this is the perfect game for me.
Because that's how you just say, oh, I went and saw that movie, so-and-so, and the something-something.
Right, and then you or Jeff go, it was that movie, and I'm like, yep, you're exactly right.
Okay, that's true. Well, let's see if you can do it the other way around. I don't know if you can. There's lots of movies with titles like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory or Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. So I'm going to tell you the new title that I made up for an existing movie but that follows that formula of a character from the movie and a thing or a situation from that film. Does that make sense?
Makes total sense.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Wow. It's like I just asked you all if you're willing and able to help in the case of emergency in the exit row. I need a yes out of all of you. I need you to take it seriously. All right. So we'll go one at a time. So if somebody misses, the next person gets to guess and so on. So everybody's got a chance at each one of these, but we're going to start with Aya and the film. I call it Lizzie Cronin and Her Fictional Friend.
Drop Dead Fred?
That is correct.
Wow.
Woo!
Right out of the gate. The champion is killing it. But let's go to... What the hell is this one? Oh, I know it is.
Did you stop yourself?
I wrote down the new title without writing down what it is. What's the title for? So I just had to figure out my own. I had to figure out my own logic. Like, what would that be called? All right, here we go. Trey, are you ready?
I mean, I guess. Yeah. Yes, I am.
All right. What movie could have been called Jake Sully and the Blue Man and Woman Group?
Is that the Fantastic Four?
No, but thank you for guessing quickly.
Yeah.
No reason to belabor it. Just go with your gut. Griffin?
I own a Halloween costume of this character that I have used for various comedy shows and podcasts in the last year. So I recognize the character by name. This is the movie Avatar.
That's right. Oh. It is Avatar. That is correct.
Unobtainium. Right?
Unobtainium.
Yeah.
You don't remember that's the iconic heroic character, Jake Sully?
That's the, what's his name? Sam Worthington played him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, look, I got that right. No points. No points.
You don't get any points for that.
Nope.
I'd sooner give you points for, you know, describing the long goodbye in such detail.
I thought he kept it brief, but hit all the bullet points.
He really did. There was nothing left to talk about. I was serious.
Well, we could have talked about the dogs. I like the dogs. Those are funny. The Doberman always chasing him around. That was pretty good.
We're back to Aya.
Okay.
What movie do you think this is, Aya? Howard Ratner and the Bejeweled Furby.
Howard and the Duck? I'm guessing from your laughter that is totally correct.
I never thought of it.
Did I
before.
Say and the duck? Howard the Duck?
I'm not sure if Howard the Duck has a last name, but it would be funny if his last name was Ratner.
He's related to Brett.
He does kind of look, he is kind of Furby-ish, though, that Howard the Duck. Trey, what do you think this movie is?
But Howard, what?
Ratner.
Howard Ratner and the
Ratner.
Bejeweled Furby.
Uh-huh.
Never ending story.
Say my name.
What do you think? I know that Griffin's just sitting there waiting to tell us the answer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and this is also one of the only, for my money, modern movies that operates like the kind of 70s movies we were just talking about. This is Uncut Gems.
Yes, that's right. Oh. Uncut Gems. His name's Adam Sandler's name is Howard Ratner, and of course he at one point is showing off his bejeweled Furby.
Totally forgot that. That movie was intense, man. Like it was one of those I enjoyed, but was just happy when it was over. Like, okay, I can breathe now, go outside, get some fresh air. It was good though.
Yeah, it's funny to read comments on the internet about it because, you know, the movie is supposed to be, you know, nerve rattling. You know, it's not, you're not supposed to sit there and just calmly watch it. Or I hope people wouldn't. And, but the comments, the people that hate it, you can tell it you know, got under their skin just because it, you know, they just got aggravated with the, you know, cause the situations are very frustrating and annoying.
It's terrible that I haven't seen it, but every time I hear it, I think it's about circumcision, and I'm guessing that's wrong.
I mean, in some subtextual ways, it kind of is.
Okay.
See, he's a very circumcised character. He's spiritually circumcised and also physically, we assume.
Their previous movie is also sort of about circumcision. It's called Good Time. But no, Uncut Gems is just referring to the world of jewelry, and that's where Sandler's character lives. But he's also a gambler, and he's got a lot of issues. And it's a very intense movie, and intentionally so.
Yes.
Yeah,
I will watch post-pandemic.
It's one of those movies where there's like stuff going on, like on the soundtrack, that's like clearly there to just make the scene harder to watch.
Yeah, totally. The lighting, the music. Yeah, man. I mean, he does it well. You did it. Sweats and stuff. It's emotional.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Yeah. I saw it before we locked down. So I saw it in one of those theaters with the lounge chair kind of situation. It just felt weird to be watching such a tense movie in a reclined position.
Right? Like you need to be in a plastic school chair, like sitting forward even. Not.
I mean, like the
back.
Edge of your seat, that's an expression for a reason. Not like, oh man, it was so exciting. I was laying flat.
You're right. I was chaise lounged, fool.
Oh man, I was so chaise. All right. Here we go. We got to settle this thing. Who got that last?
Griffin.
Griffin's got 2 points. All right. Yeah. So here's your chance to tie it up.
Don't expect much.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Okay. Here we go. Sophie Sheridan and her three dads.
Three men and a baby?
No, sorry. Trey, what do you think it is?
Three men and a little lady?
She changed her name? For the sequel, she was like, nah, it's going to be Sophie now.
Well, did he get married and then she had a new name? Couldn't that have been? Look.
I don't know. I don't know how much time there was between those movies, but they're both incorrect. And then we go over to Griffin, who's always just in the bushes waiting to pounce.
No, but I'm struggling here because those are my top two guesses. I would have done the exact same thing Trey did and just rolled the dice on maybe Doug was thinking more specifically of the second one. I'm trying to think of another movie where three men co-parent, tri-parent. God, Sophie Sheridan and her three dads. I'm at like a complete loss here. So I'm going to guess something that is incorrect and which I also do not have the title for. I'm going to guess the French movie that Three Men and a Baby was a remake of.
Oh, nice.
La baby la vie. What was that called? I forget what that was called, but... yeah, it was based on that. And that started a trend of there's just a lot of American comedies based on French comedies and didn't work out most of the time. Okay. So that one was called Mamma Mia.
Oh,
Sophie. Oh. I don't know which one is your dad, Sophie. Stuff like that.
I auditioned for that movie, but I didn't read it.
Oh, really?
No. I remember having to sing, and they were like, do you sing? And I was like, no.
Boom, out the door.
That's why Amanda got it. Amanda Seyfried. She could sing and I couldn't, but that was the only reason, because clearly I was right up there.
Oh, Millie Vanilli. Nobody's heard of Millie Vanilli. They could have done some. You're right. It was totally because you couldn't sing.
Totally. Right. Yeah, that's what
sorry.
It was.
Yeah. Oh, caught myself there. Good save, dude.
All right, Aya. Here's the next one. Nick Wilde and the Carrot Eating Cop.
What? What? Oh.
That's not a good sign if that's your reaction.
maybe I'm misdirecting. I'm not. Yeah. What? Nick what?
Nick Wilde and the Carrot Eating Cop.
The Bugs Bunny movie.
Incorrect, Trey.
Unforgiven.
Excellent guess, Griffin.
I was hiding in the bushes on this one. The answer is Zootopia.
That is correct. Oh. You did it, Griffin. You win the game. Congratulations. Zootopia. Jason Bateman is a fox named Nick Wilde.
Yes.
And he teams up with Officer Judy Hopps.
Yep.
Voiced by that lady. What's
Jennifer
her name?
Goodwin. Jennifer Goodwin.
Yep, she's great. That's those two, the voice acting from both of them in Zootopia is so good.
Jennifer with a G, right?
Yes, double G, Jennifer Goodwin.
Do I get a point for that?
Is it Jennifer or Jennifer?
Jin.
Yeah.
Jennifer.
Jennifer.
Seagrams.
You want points for the weirdest things, Trey. I'll think about it during the break. Okay. We got one more game to play. We'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're back, and I really thought about it the entire time.
Yeah.
And I came to the conclusion that I didn't remember what I was thinking about.
Fair cop.
So Griffin won that first game. So that means he gets to go first in this next game. I know, not really much of a prize, but here we are.
It means a lot to me.
This game is called Better Dead Than Fred.
Wow.
Griffin, we'll start with you. Then we'll go to Aya and then to Trey. I'll tell you a fact, and then you tell me if the fact concerns the film Drop Dead Gorgeous or the motion picture Drop Dead Fred or both.
This is a very Drop Dead Fred heavy episode.
Oh, look at that. That's right. Little foreshadowing on that in that earlier game.
Yeah, are you going back to your themed game thing?
Well, the theme here is that it's either from Drop Dead Gorgeous or Drop Dead Fred or both. Griffin?
Okay.
Here's your first fun fact. Released in 1991.
The answer is Drop Dead Fred only.
That is correct. Griffin has 1 point. Aya.
So ready.
Rated PG-13.
I'm going to say both are rated PG-13.
That is correct.
Wow.
they both get to say the word fuck once. Ooh. Hope they used it right. I haven't seen either of those movies in a long time. Thinking about rewatching Drop Dead Gorgeous because people have been talking it up lately, including on last week's show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've watched it recently.
And you liked it?
Dude, I love it. It's one of my favorites.
I got to watch that movie.
Yeah, it's really good.
All right, Trey. Well, then this might be a easy one for you.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Drop Dead Gorgeous, Drop Dead Fred, or both features an uncredited cameo, the cameo from Bridget Fonda.
Oh. I'm going to say Drop Dead Gorgeous.
That movie that you love?
Yeah, well, because there's a scene with at a beauty pageant where there's just a bunch of contestants there eating, and so I'm thinking maybe she's in the background in one of them. Oh, man. I should have gone with the other one.
Griffin, is it Drop Dead Fred or both?
I vaguely remember her being in Drop Dead Fred. So the question for me is if she's in both. But I'm going to say, based on your stony silence after Trey's answer, that it's just Drop Dead Fred.
That is correct. Oh. Back to Aya. Drop Dead Gorgeous, Drop Dead Fred are both directed by men.
I can't remember what year Drop Dead Gorgeous was, but I feel like before 2000, that was like 95% of comedies were directed by men. So, I'm going to go. I'm going to go against my instincts and say Drop Dead Gorgeous was just directed by a man.
That is incorrect.
Yeah, I know.
Trey.
Oath.
Why do you have to say it like that?
Because the only reason
why do you gotta be like it's obvious?
No, the only reason I'm saying that is because I have seen Drop Dead Gorgeous recently, and I did find it odd that it wasn't directed by a woman. Okay. And not for any, but just because it's a lot like that. That's an example of people are dumb if they don't think women are funny, because there's an entire movie of hilarious women. So I was surprised that it wasn't directed by a woman as well.
All right. Well, you're on the board, buddy.
Yeah.
Now we go to Griffin.
Isn't Drop Dead Gorgeous directed by a member of the state? I think.
Oh, you mean the comedy group? I thought
you were
doing some tinfoil hat stuff there for a second, which I have mine ready to go. That's why I was like, have I not heard this yet? What's going on?
Drop Dead Fred is a deep state psyop, but I think Drop Dead Gorgeous was directed by a member of the state, but I'm trying to remember which of the 15 it was.
Yeah, I didn't.
The left side.
Yeah, you can't look anything up because you're in the middle of a game. But yeah, it was directed by Michael Patrick Jan.
Right.
That's right. Well, I really gotta watch that movie and give it another chance. But let's move on to you here, Griffin, for your next opportunity for a point. Drop Dead Gorgeous, Drop Dead Fred are both has an actor who played Batman in it.
Who?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I ask a question of clarification?
Sure.
Are we counting voice acting performances, or does it have to be on camera in the suit?
Wow.
Any actor who has referred to himself as Batman while some sort of device was capturing it.
Interesting.
It can be counted.
Okay, in that case, I am going to blindly guess both.
Incorrect. Oh. Great guess, though. Aya, what do you think?
Like, you know when they do the like talking to ghost things where he sort of says, I feel like that question was a like, let me see how Doug reacts in order to.
And absolutely.
I was going to cry foul, but since you got it wrong, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I am going to say Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Oh.
What's the matter, Trey?
Because I know she's right.
She is right. That is correct. Yeah. The great Adam West.
Oh, right.
In Drop Dead Gorgeous. So that was why your question was a little tricky, because he definitely you were trying to narrow it down from all the film Batmans. And there's that TV Batman in the middle. All right. So that we're back to you, Trey.
Okay. Adam West.
Gorgeous or Fred or both. Right. Written by a woman.
Both.
Incorrect. Griffin.
I'm going to say Drop Dead Gorgeous.
That is correct.
Damn it.
That brings you to 3 points and makes you our winner today. Congratulations. I know, Aya, thank you so much for being here. I know this is a tough blow to you that you can't.
Congrats, you Griffin.
Can't join us
really
again.
Good job. You seem to know a lot about movies. Good job.
Wow.
Your support means the world to me.
Oh, you made an enemy here today, man. I don't know. Mothman should not be messing with Stormfront. That's nuts.
Hey, no, we both shit in other people's bathrooms when our bathrooms collapsed. I feel kinship. It's all right. I'll move
that's
on.
That's true.
That's true. Well, that's true. And also, Amazon conclusively took Stormfront's side over Mothman's. So you won the bigger battle.
That is true. That is true.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank
we'll
you.
Have everybody's welcome back soon, except of course for Trey.
Yeah. That's cool though. I love it.
What do you want to plug, buddy? You're going to be in my show on Tuesday. You're going to do some. Do you stand up or sit down when you perform on the internet virtually?
Man, I sit down.
Yeah.
Who knows? It's 4:20, relax. So maybe I'll stand up. But we'll
all see. Right.
It's
well,
still that's weird doing it in the camera. But then.
Yeah.
Yeah, then I'm going to do a show at the Spider House in Austin with some of our friends on June 5th, and they're doing limited seating. It's only going to be 60 people. So we're doing one show, and if it sells out, then they'll add a 9:30 show too. But it's me, Chris Cubis, Chris Tellez, Avery Moore, Jay White Cotton, and Lisa Friedrich, which is like, that is Austin comedy right there.
Great lineup.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I want to have my friends out, you know, and have us all do comedy since we haven't been able to do it in a while.
Great. Good for you. I will see you on Tuesday.
Yep.
Aya Cash, the movie is called We Broke Up.
That is the movie.
In theaters now, battling it out with Kong and Godzilla. And but it'll be available digitally on Friday. Anything else you'd like to plug?
Yeah, can I just plug my mom's book? My mom's an amazing poet. She's got a book out called Now We're Getting Somewhere. It's in all your local small bookstores, and she's won lots of awards. It's not like I'm not like my mom self-published something. She's got like a Guggenheim and some NEAs and shit. So it's real good. Go get that.
Awesome. Griffin Newman.
Blank Check with Griffin and David is my podcast I do with David Sims from The Atlantic. As I said, we spent all of April doing the films of Elaine May because we thought that was funny. But you can listen to that wherever podcasts are found. Also, I play a couple different voices on this weird show that is premiering on Showtime and streaming on Showtime's streaming thing on April 20th called Cinema Toast, which is a bunch of different directors who recut public domain footage from different types of projects and try to craft new narratives around it and redub it. So I play a couple different characters in one episode of that. But I think it's going to be an interesting show. I haven't seen it, and I know nothing of the other episodes, but it's a kind of weird, ambitious sort of project. It came about from people trying to figure out how to make a show in the early days of the pandemic when no one wanted to actually be on a set.
Cool.
That sounds cool. I want to watch that.
I think it'll be cool. Yeah. I'm excited to see it myself.
And can we count on you to repeat your appearance next week on the show?
Happily. That's the burden of the crown. Yeah.
Well, yeah, well, we'll see. I don't know offhand who we're going to have coming in up against you, but I'm excited that you'll be back, and good luck. Doug Benson's Comedy Sesh is happening Tuesday, 4:20 at 4:20 Pacific time. Stand up or sit down for me, Trey, Bree Pruitt, Billy Wayne Davis, who else? Vanessa Gonzalez. And then also I'm going to play a game from Douglas Movies with Jeff Tate and Sam the Ma'am Levine. RushTix.com. That's RushTix.com. Ka-ka! Thank you, Aya. Thank you, Griffin. Thank you, Trey. What a delight all three of you have been, as expected. And have a great rest of your Sunday. And as always, here comes some more.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in